Once again, we express our appreciation for your presence here this morning. Indeed, your presence is an indication of your sincere desire to serve and worship the Almighty God of heaven. I'd like to just spend a few moments this morning talking about glorifying God. In the Old Testament, when Moses took his rod and he struck the rock instead of talking to it as God commanded, Moses failed to glorify God in the presence of Israel. The American Heritage Dictionary defines glorify as to give glory, honor, or high praise to exalt, or furthermore, to give glory to, especially through worship. Strong defines glorify as to render or esteem glorious. In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 7, of course, this is after Israel had come to Moses and said, "We don't have any water and we're thirsty." And they had told Moses, they argued that it would have been better for them to have stayed in Egypt and died there than to come out in the wilderness and die there with Moses. And so Moses and Aaron, they go to the tabernacle and they bow down before the presence of God. And God says in Numbers 20 and verse 7, "The Lord spoke, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather their congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. And thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." And so Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rod. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And then Moses lifted his hand, and struck the rock twice. That is, he didn't speak to it, but rather he strikes the rock twice with his rod. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Sometimes folks might argue, "Well, preacher, water still came out of the rock." Yeah, and my answer to that is that God was not going to punish Israel for Moses' error. And furthermore, the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 12, "And Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." And so it ought to be our aim to glorify God. In Numbers 20, when Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it in the presence of the people, he failed to glorify God. That is to say that Moses failed to give honor to high praise to exalt. He failed to render or esteem glorious when he chose to disobey. This morning I want to look at four ways. Four ways, and there may be more than four ways, but these four specific ways that we today can glorify God. Notice first of all that we can glorify God by being light bearers. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Now watch verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." To what end or to what purpose? And Jesus says, "And glorify your Father in heaven." And so, unlike Moses in the presence of the people, when we are light bearers in the presence of others, we esteem God. We glorify God. We exalt God when we live soberly, righteously, and godly in the presence of others. That is, to be an example of obedience. But even more so, It's not just being an example of obedience, but showing others the way of Jesus, which we'll talk about tonight, by the way, the way of Jesus. How about those in Hebrews chapter 11? Read through Hebrews chapter 11, right? And you got Abel, and you got Noah, and you got Moses, and right? A number of Bible characters, Old Testament Bible characters, are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Do you know why they're there? Well, you'll say, well, by faith, that's right. That is, each of those Bible characters that are cataloged by faith, but by faith what? By faith, they obeyed God. They themselves were light bearers. When Abel offered up to God an acceptable sacrifice, he was a light bearer of such. He showed others the way. Or when Noah, in Genesis 6:22, did all that God commanded him, he was a light bearer of obedience and doing all that God had commanded. And you just keep going through Hebrews 11. They're there because of what they did. Or how about be a Philemon? We recently here last year concluded a study of Philemon. I'm currently teaching that material with the brethren at Norton. And in those series of sermons or lessons, I've said, when was the last time you heard a preacher quote from the book of Philemon? You probably can't remember. Not very often, is it? Not like from Paul's other epistles or Peter or other books of the Bible. But if you want to think about being a light bearer, how about and Philemon's name maybe is not petitioned with great frequency. But just take note. You want to be a light bearer, be a Philemon. Just look at Philemon verse 5. This is what Paul says about the character of Philemon. Paul says, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Will you be a Philemon? Will you be a light bearer of love and faith toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints? Or how about in verse 7? Paul says about Philemon, for we have great joy and consolation in your love. Are you going to be a source of joy like Philemon? Philemon had been a source of joy for brethren in Colossae and elsewhere, and even in the life of the Apostle Paul. But later on in verse 7, Paul says, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Will you be a light bearer of refreshing? Will you be an example of one who refreshes others? So be a Philemon. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3, in verse number 17, wherefore Paul writes with the pen of inspiration, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. What kind of pattern are you setting? Right? If somebody were to follow the pattern, I remember, I never was much of an artist, and so I spent much of my childhood tracing. I'd follow a pattern. What kind of pattern are you, spiritually speaking? Paul said that others could follow him, and that they too likewise would follow those at Philippi, and that they would be a pattern of good works. You know, be the kind of pattern that shows others how to truly, humbly, and genuinely glorify God. Will you be that kind of pattern? How about Jesus? Jesus is the ultimate pattern or example. In Luke chapter 2 and 49, Jesus himself says that he was busy. What was he busy with? Or about, or in? He said about his Father's business. That business, by the way, included glorifying his Father in heaven. If you look with me in Matthew 26, our theme this year is adopted from several statements made by Jesus, and our congregational theme this year is not my will, but thy will be done. A statement uttered by Jesus in Matthew 26 and verse 39. Jesus, it says, he fell on his face. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying. And he says, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup, the cup of suffering, pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He makes a similar statement to that in Luke 22 and in verse 42. It's no wonder why then that Peter, who wrote to first century Christians in the latter part of the first century, could write that Jesus left us an example that we should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2 and 21. And so, folks, ladies and gentlemen, brethren, the one who will strive to be an example a light bearer to influence others with the gospel. In word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. By the way, that's what Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Will be the one who exalts God in the presence of others. Will you be one who honors God and glorifies God? Number two, glorifying God. How can we do that? Well, how about by being a true worshiper? But now you might think, well, doesn't that go without saying? Well, there's example after example throughout the Bible of those who did not always worship in such a way that glorified God. In Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, the Bible says about the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, that in their worship to God, they offered up strange fire. I think the ESV or the American Standard uses the term unauthorized, and that's what it was. It was strange, foreign. It was unauthorized by God. They did something that God did not approve of or authorize them to do. What exactly was it about that fire that was unauthorized? I don't know, but the point is that they did that which God had not commanded them, or they altered God's command in some form or fashion. And when they did that, they did not offer up worship that glorified God. They offered up vain worship. Empty, useless, meaningless. It did not exalt God. What did God do to them? It says God consumed them with fire. Or in Matthew 15, 9, Jesus talking about the worship of the Pharisees. And Jesus said, and in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Unauthorized worship or vain worship does not glorify God. You want to glorify God, you want to exalt God, you want to praise God, then you can do so by being a true worshiper. Well, what is involved in being a true worshiper? Well, when Jesus had met that woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, in John chapter 4, he had an exchange of words, had a conversation with her. And in John chapter 4, in verse 23, Jesus had spake unto her, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. And God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. To worship in spirit is just to worship with the right disposition, the right attitude, the right spirit. To worship in truth is to worship as God has directed. If God told me to offer up a certain kind of fire, then I better do it the way that God said to do it. If God had told me to go strike or speak to the rock, then I best go speak to it. You see, whatever God says to do, I best do it. And I best do it just as God has described or commanded. By the way, God glorifying worship has God as its object. In our adult Bible class, we briefly touched on this. In our adult Bible class, we were studying from Acts chapter 14 when Paul's at the city of Lystra during his first missionary journey. And there, Paul heals a crippled man. And upon healing that crippled man, the folks of Lystra had referred to Paul and Barnabas, or thought of them as Greek gods. And they thought that they had come down and taken on human flesh. And in response to that, Paul tells them, why are you doing these things? We are of the same nature as you. That is to say, we're just men just like you. We're no different than you. But then Paul talks about the living God, and that's who they were to turn to. And, of course, the reason why Paul replied in the fashion that he did was that it wasn't Paul and Barnabas that were objects of worship. They were not to be the objects of worship, but the living God was to be. That is, our Creator is the object of our worship. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, when Jesus was in the midst of facing temptation from Satan, Jesus said, away with you, Satan, right? And you shall serve and worship, he said, God, right? And Him only you shall serve and worship. That is to say that God is the object of our worship. Or in Revelation 22, in verse 8, John, it says, saw and heard these things. And when he says, I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. John tries to worship an angel. And he said, the angel said, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. He says, worship God. You want to be a God-glorifying individual? Then do so by being a true worshiper. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Examine the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. And be sure that you are worshiping exactly as God has commanded. And be sure that the object of your worship is God Himself. And in so doing, you're going to exalt God and glorify God. Hebrews 13:15. The Hebrew writer says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Why? Because God is worthy of such. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Number three, glorifying God. How about by being doers of good? Help people. Encourage people. Do good unto others. And guess what? In so doing, God's going to be glorified. And guess what? Do it once. And then do it again. And then continually do it. Be looking for, seeking, creating opportunities to do and do good and glorify God. It may be that we don't do because we just sit back and we wait. And we're just waiting for this, what is perceived to be a perfect opportunity. Maybe what we would deem as a more convenient opportunity for us. But maybe we ought to be more proactive. Maybe we ought to be looking for opportunities to do good. Seeking opportunities. How about, dare I say, creating some opportunities to do good? What's stopping you from just doing good because God's people are to do good? In Galatians chapter 6, when Paul writes to the saints at Galatia, guess what he talks about? Among other things, being doers of good. This was part of our scripture reading, as Brother Gabe so eloquently read for us this morning in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Paul had some fellow laborers in the kingdom. There were many of them. But two of them he had specifically written letters to, Timothy and Titus. You might include Philemon, three of them. But Timothy and Titus, the content of those letters has much to say about preaching the gospel, the work of a minister or evangelist. And so in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, and talking about qualified elders, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, but not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good. You lover of what is good? While these might be qualities of an elder, these are also qualities of Christians in general. At least as it is a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Be a doer of good. Look for opportunities. Seek them out. Create them. The point is, you want to glorify God? Be one who does good. We spend a lot of time, you know, talking about the present world we live in and how terrible things are. But our time will be better spent focusing on glorifying God. I cannot control, we cannot control, right, what other people think and do. But I can control what I think and do. And may I think about glorifying God and may I do it. Let me give you one more and lessons yours. Number four. How about by serving? How about first and foremost by serving God? You know, the person who's serving God will be the very person who's glorifying God. In Acts 20 and verse 19, you know what Paul said about himself? And it wasn't that Paul was thinking more highly of himself. It wasn't that Paul was trying to be arrogant. He says to the elders at Ephesus, talking about the work that he had did in and amongst them, and amongst that, he said, serving the Lord with all humility. The Apostle Paul, that's right. He was busy serving the Lord with all humility. In Hebrews chapter 12, as the Hebrew letter is drawing near its end. In verse 28 of Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so as a God-glorifying servant, I've got to learn to seek the well-being that would be physically and spiritually of our fellow man, especially our fellow saints. The early saints were exhorted by Paul in Galatians 5:13. Through love, serve one another. I just have come to appreciate the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and specifically the purpose with which they were written. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, this is what Mark said. This is kind of the summary verse. If you wanted one verse that summarized the book of Mark, this might very well be it. In Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many." By the way, that is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords speaking. This is the King who will establish His kingdom, His spiritual kingdom. And He talks about being a servant. He talks about serving. Now, why would He do that? Well, in Mark's case, because Mark is writing to a Roman audience. And it's just fascinating that Mark presents Jesus as this servant. The Romans weren't going to submit to anyone. They weren't going to serve anyone. Matter of fact, they were the ones going to be served. And so when Mark presents Jesus to the Romans, it's in a servant's disposition. And if Jesus is willing and humble enough to serve, then so too shall His followers and or His disciples. And so we do as God commanded, that we through our humble obedience will glorify God. There's lots of things you could put up there probably. If you were to catalog a list of things that in an endeavor to glorify God. Paul said in Galatians 1 verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" That's the thing. If we seek to please men, we're not going to be found glorifying God. All right. But that doesn't dismiss doing good or helping or encouraging. That wasn't Paul's point. The point is, who is it that I'm trying to glorify? Who am I trying to please? And if I'm trying to glorify men, then I won't glorify God. But if I'm trying to glorify God, I'll seek to please God. Paul said, "For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Won't you make it your aim to glorify God? Not just today, but if tomorrow comes and we call it today, and whatever you have set out for the day's task, work, a list of chores, whatever it may be, whatever your day holds for you to do, that in everything you do, right, the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you dress, the way that you talk, the way that you go about serving God throughout the day, that as we come together as God's people to worship God, that we'll endeavor to glorify Him. And we do that when we willfully and humbly submit to His will and do all things according to His authoritative voice. We're going to sing song number 300, "I Am Coming, Lord." Maybe you're here and not yet a Christian. That is as taught on the pages of the New Testament. The New Testament reveals those commands or instructions, God's plan for saving man. God has done all He's going to do, right? God has bestowed His grace, His mercy. God has given, sacrificed His only begotten Son. Jesus has already shed His blood and His death for the remission of sins, not His sins, but my sins, our sins. And the Holy Spirit has revealed the will or word of God. God has done all He's going to do. And now it's up to you and I to respond to God's commands, to hear the gospel, to believe in God and Jesus, to repent of our sins, make changes in our lives that conform to God's will. Confess, that is, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess that before men. And as the Bible commands or instructs, to be baptized. By the way, the one who submits to those commands is the one who will glorify God. And likewise, be saved. Become a Christian. And then we arise from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. And God has much instruction throughout the New Testament for faithful living and faithful service to God. And as a Christian, when I faithfully do so, I glorify God. But guess what? Like Moses, when Moses forsook God's command or instruction, Likewise, when I do not honor God. God told Moses, you didn't honor me in the presence of these people. You didn't glorify me. And we're no different than Moses if we fail to do as God has instructed in regards to faithful living. Don't you want to glorify God? And if you're here and you're subject to the gospel invitation, and you need to make your life right with God, whatever that name may be, we here at the church at Barberton can help you or assist you this morning. If you come to the front and have a seat while together we stand and sing.